Well, here's a wine and food pairing question for you. Which wine can you drink with all of these dishes? A bowl of Sichuan noodles, a delicate grilled fish, a Korean barbecue taco, and salty caramel ice cream? Well, the short answer is a white wine called Riesling. Here in the U.S., Riesling is a sleeper wine. But if you go to the mothership, Riesling's home, Germany, it's the jewel in the crown. Now, wine writer Stuart Piggott moved from the U.K. to Germany 2 decades ago to study wine, in particular, Riesling. His website is Planet Wine, and Stuart joins us from Germany. Stuart, welcome.
Thank you.
Stuart, how can a Riesling taste right with that whole range of flavors?
Well, Riesling is a wine which is light and refreshing, but very strong and intense. And it has an enormous range of nuance. You have wines ranging from the very dry to the very sweet, from the very light to the very powerful. Every possible combination of those things is possible.
Does any other grape have this ability?
I would love to find one. I think it would have considerable commercial potential.
And that's an interesting point because, at least in this country, we don't know that much about Riesling. I mean, the popularity of other wines and other grapes is huge, but Riesling is nowhere near as popular, and yet...
Well, in its quiet way, Riesling has been growing rather fast the last years, even if it doesn't make a big noise and, doesn't attract that many big headlines. It's a grassroots thing. People just bump into the wine and discover they like it and start discovering its enormous gastronomic potential.
Well, you know, how can you tell on the bottle how sweet the wine is going to be? Because I've had them where they're absolutely bone dry, and I've had them where they would be great with a salty caramel ice cream or a creme brulee. Is there a way of knowing on the bottle?
Yes, there is. Very, very often it says something like a dry or sweet on the label. And
That's pretty obvious.
Yes, yeah. In recent years, there has also been a small graphic which you can find on the back labels of many Rieslings, which tells you exactly what the level of sweetness of the wine is. And look at the alcoholic content. If the alcoholic content is 10% or lower, it's going to be a sweetish wine. The dry wines start around 11.
So now this is one of the great wines of Germany, right?
Of the world, I would say. A lot of very good Riesling is being made in America. It's just not that well known.
Well, okay. Where in America?
Well, for example, in the Finger Lakes in upstate New York, in the north of Michigan, in Washington State. Huh. I would say those are the three most important regions, but there's a bit of Riesling in a great many other places as well.
Now, I have to say, I knew about the Finger Lakes and I know about the Northwest, but I didn't realize the peninsula of Michigan.
Yes, the Old Mission and Leelanau Peninsulas close to Traverse City in the north of Michigan produce some very fine Rieslings that are, yeah, beautiful, elegant, generally just off-dry wine.
Huh. Can you name some names for us?
Well, the biggest, they call themselves the biggest Riesling producer east of the Rockies. Chateau Grand Traverse is the most important producer up there.
I see. Now, what about German Rieslings? I realize this is like asking you to pick your favorite child, but... some names for us to look for to have a good sense of what a German Riesling is about.
Well, if you want to get a sense of what is happening now, the new generation of Riesling producers who have been coming up since the turn of the century, then I think you really need to look for a dry wine from one of the leading young Turks. For example, from Philip Wittmann, that's written W-I-T-T-M-A-N-N, Wittmann. It's spoken rather like you would speak the name of Walt Whitman.
Right.
These are prototypic examples of what's new here in Germany. Philip Pittman is a role model for hundreds of wine growers who are even younger than he is.
What is the difference? I mean, what is so different?
Well, his wines manage to combine a considerable amount of body and power with this lightness of touch and this freshness, which is so characteristic for Riesling wines.
And what would you eat with something like this?
I think as long as the food is not terribly sweet or extremely spicy, you have an incredibly flexible wine there, which will go with a great deal of particularly lighter foods. But, if the steak isn't slathered in barbecue sauce, it's probably going to manage there pretty well, too.
A white wine with steak, interesting.
No problem at all. People assume that we have so many fixed ideas, even I do in my mind, about which wine is going to go with which food. And when you try these things out, there's an awful lot of big surprises coming.
Well, Stuart, thank you. This is an interesting beginning for us to understand this wine.
I think we are really at the beginning of the age of Riesling.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Stuart Pigott's website is Planet Wine. Now, for his Riesling suggestions, go to our website, splendidtable.org.